I guess 27 years now of having the opportunity to talk to some wonderful people. And lately, I love to go Facebook Live when I have interesting people in the studio. Of course, I always have interesting people in the studio, but I feel very blessed today to go Facebook Live here at Cindy Paulus with Rock Hendricks. Hey, welcome, Rock.
How you doing? Aloha, everybody.
Aloha. I'm so glad you could make it.
Glad to be here.
We're excited because Rock is going to actually be up at Lahaina Cannery Mall this Friday from 5:30 to 7 with Mitch and Angel. Mitch was here, I think it was just a week or so ago, and he was just an angel. So to have you, a legendary sax player, playing with Mitch for free this Friday from 5:30 to 7 on center stage at Lahaina Cannery Mall is such a treat. I've got to get up there and see you play. I happen to love saxophone playing it. You're a smooth sax great. You've actually been blessed to have quite an interesting life and have played with the legendary performers like Michael Jackson, John Lee Hooker, Lydia Pence, Cold Blood, Michael Bublé, Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, Bobby, and the list goes on, Walter Becker, Donald Fagen, The Family Stone, Bonnie Raitt, Leon Russell, Dave Mason, Sammy Hagar, and it goes on. Jeff Lorber, Paul Hardcastle, who you have many compilations with, and what was that? A great trip because you had 9 Billboard number one smooth jazz hits with him, and there's more. You just put out your last first solo album was just released and is called
Can't Let Go.
So yeah, welcome, but... welcome. Such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Cindy, for having me.
Well, I was doing a little background check on you, and you have a very, very interesting story. One of the fun things about Talk Story is I know everyone has interesting stories. But the stories make you who you are, and sometimes the hard stories make your life even more interesting. You started out with some challenges when you were young, right?
Yes, I was born blind and till I was 7 years old. So not many people can say that they can remember the first day they saw their parents, which is really something
that's true.
Hard to fathom. And I was born with detached retinas. And later on in life, now I have what they call macular degeneration. So my eyes are going once again.
Oh my gosh, but that's a hard one.
I was lucky to see just fairly okay, not good, for my whole life. So
were you able to see to the point where you could drive and read?
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to drive around with me. It'd be like going on a wild ride with Mr. Magoo.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, no, I really don't like to drive anymore.
Yeah, so, it's kind of scary when you think that diagnosis is out there, but at the same time, there's so much being done. There's always some hope that maybe something can be done.
Well, I'm really glad, Cindy, you brought up my blindness, because there's blind people all over the world, and it's something that I really have tried to support with the blind foundations and things like that. And there's some talented musicians here that are blind and on the island, and my doctor said that being blind, there's only a couple jobs that blind people can really do. One was a masseuse. And the other one was a musician.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
So, thank God, I've been blessed by God that I'm a musician, because I can still play, even though I can't see.
Did you feel that having that challenge actually, and for 6-7 years of your life being blind, did you feel that it enhanced your other capabilities?
Absolutely. And then, my when I was a little baby laying in the crib, they had those little things, that butterflies that hang over your face, and I never reacted to them, and my mom thought something was wrong, so they took me to the doctor and they discovered I was blind. But the first thing that got me to move my head and kind of was I was born in the 1950s, and there was some great music then, like Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and his Comets, and Chubby Checkers and all those great songs. So anyhow, there's a lot of sax on that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think when I was a little kid and I couldn't see, I was really drawn to the music. So
Did you hear it on the radio?
And my dad was in the military.
Uh-huh.
And my father was he was a captain, and we lived in Germany. And when I was as a little kid, they would drop me off at the NCO club where all the privates and stuff were having their beers, and they would put me by the jukebox, and they'd have to tear me out of there. And that's kind of like free babysitting for my mom.
Wasn't there a group called Jukebox Baby? I'm trying to think of. If not, there should be, right?
They said that I would be hanging on that jukebox, not wanting to leave. So, yeah, the music.
Your jukebox was your babysitter.
That was, you know.
what a cool thing.
Easy way to kind of.
What memories, right?
Yeah, I was blind, and so they just let me stay by the jukebox.
Did you bop to it?
Yeah.
You did? Did you actually move to it?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, let me see. Now I can't dance, you know, like they. So I can't. In fact, I'm. What can I say here? Michael Jackson told me I couldn't dance. I was crushed. Anyhow.
Well, you got to play with Michael Jackson,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I got to play with Michael and.
What was it? That's one of his pickup bands when he was doing gigs around the country.
No, I was
or something?
I was in the Jackson 5 in the late 70s.
You were in the Jackson 5.
Yeah,
that was the best part. I'm sorry, I like Jackson 5 better than what he did later.
And I knew his family, and you know, later on I. Ended up with Marvin Gaye and working at Motown Records.
Who's one of the greats. Marvin Gaye, yeah. My gosh. You know what? His music is so completely timeless. Everything he did, you know, you hear now from back then, and he was so completely right on.
That's right.
So right on.
He had a lot to say with his music, you know.
And he was saying it before other musicians in Motown were saying it. Everything was let's be happy and hand clap. And he came out with saying, hey, I'm going to take it the next step, right?
And, well, like What's Going On, for example.
Yeah.
And Paul Hardcastle and I did the 40th anniversary of What's Going On, and it became a number one Billboard hit a few years ago. And it was a mashup of Paul Hardcastle's first hit, Rainforest, back in 1982. And that was an instrumental kind of dance hit that was really cool. And that's what got me into Paul Hardcastle. But anyhow, 40 years later, Paul had gotten permission from Motown to use Marvin Gaye's voice from the vault and had to get the family's permission. And we made a mashup of Rainforest and What's Going On. You can YouTube it or anything like that, and it's on there. It's really great. And
that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah,
when you have that kind of, you know, right on you to try to match that. I mean, the thing is, I love saxophone, and saxophone makes songs, but there are a handful of famous saxophone players most people can mention, you know, that you don't get as many solo saxophone greats. I mean, obviously, you know, Dave Koz, and there's, you know, I love David Sanborn, and there's Gatto, you know, Gatto.
Yeah.
And
all great. You know about Gatto Barbieri?
Oh, God, yeah, Gatto.
Europa?
Oh, I love Gatto. Yeah, I mean, his music is like, whoa.
Boy,
and that's sensual sax, right? I mean, he got the sensual sax out.
I think a lot of babies were made from that, his version of Europa.
he's absolutely mind-blowing. But, you know, the saxophone is so integral. And at the same time, you only have so much space. In when you do jazz, you know, and improvise in jazz, you have room, you know, room to play and move. But in rock, you get a few bars, right? You got to hit it really hard.
That's
and big
right.
Within what? You get maybe half, 30 seconds?
A sax, you know, when you play in a band, your parts are usually here and there. And like you said, Cindy, unless it's a jazz concert and the sax is the lead instrument. Sax doesn't really do a lot, but when you get your chance to play, you have to say something with it.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to step up right to that plate.
Right. You got to get up to the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading the Bruce Springsteen book. I finished it. That's a rather large book to read.
Yeah.
But he talked about Clarence and on it. And and after Clarence died, trying to replace Clarence, which is like who steps into Clarence Clemens' shoes, right? I mean, just his presence and his size and everything.
Yeah.
But he landed up with his son.
But he was
talking about how he had to talk to his son about owning it, you know, but not only owning it, really completely feeling it so much that anyone who heard those notes in that short period of time completely was drawn into it. And that's what great sax playing is, isn't it?
I mean, it's
really feeling it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And since I'm up there, I'm not a young man anymore, but I listen to all the greats. And the only way you can really understand sax and be a sax player is to pay your respects and your dues to all the greats that have come before.
Some of the greats, you know, like?
Well, from Charlie Parker, mm-hmm. even back in the 40s. By the way, I have Lester Young's solo
I know. Sax. It's on. If you go to if you go to Rock's website, which is?
That's rockhendrix.com.
That's not like Jimi Hendrix, spelled H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S. Yeah,
that's right.
You have one whole page devoted to your saxophone. I loved it. It's a great picture.
It's a beautiful sax, and it was made for Lester Young, and I was lucky to have it, and I've had it for over 40 years.
It's a beautiful sax. You got to keep that thing in shape.
It's a made in America horn made by King that they don't make saxophones or horns anymore. And so it's a one of a kind now. Left.
Well, my ex-father-in-law from ages ago used to deal in very rare, hard to find saxophones.
Wow.
Fred Paulus used to deal with some of the great saxophones, and would deal in those. And they're, you know, it's a dime a dozen now of the old ones that you can get that aren't afford. Most of them are so expensive.
They're
and
very expensive.
It's
now.
Yours is an investment now.
That's right. I wish I had a bunch of those old Selmers that I sold.
Oh, the old Selmers, yeah.
And one thing about sax for everybody here in Maui and in Hawaii, there's been some incredible sax players over the years, like Gabe Baltazar, Paulo.
Michael Paulo's amazing.
There's some and David, my dear friend Dave Choi, who
David played on my CD Practicing Aloha. In fact, you'll hear him on that one song in their Greater Purpose.
Well, I think of Dave every day because we used to, right here in this building where we're sitting, used to be a little woodwind shop that Dave had. Yes, right here. And we would have lunch next door. And you know, Hawaii is not known for saxophone.
Yeah.
And for sax players to even exist here, it's hard because ukulele and Hawaiian music, and I love Hawaiian music and everything, but sax doesn't really have a place in Hawaii, but it can if the sax is used in the right way.
Which you're going to be doing on Friday with Mitch Keppa.
Like, and then there's a guy that is, I think, is the Barry White of Hawaii. He has the most soulful, beautiful baritone voice of anybody I've ever heard, and he's such a soulful guy and a nice man. And I'm honored to play with him this Friday on the 20th. So please come in.
Mitch Keppa.
Yeah, Mitch Keppa.
You're right. He is soulful.
He is the most soulful guy here on this island, I think.
Yeah.
And a great, great singer and stuff. So, and we do Hawaiian music. Then what's happened was I was here with Alto Reed about a year and a half ago, and I just moved back to Maui after being gone 10 years. And Alto had gone in to see Benny Uitake at Kimo's. He plays there Sundays and Mondays. And if anybody that I'm sure half your listeners here know who Benny Uitake is.
He's taught so many people how to play the ukulele.
That's right.
Hundreds, maybe over a thousand.
Yeah. And he's a great guy. So anyhow, you're probably familiar with Glenn and Ben. I think they played there at the Marriott for 20, 30 years. But his partner, Glenn, a mango had fallen out of the tree. And when he was reaching up to grab one, and it hit him on his finger. And all of a sudden, he couldn't play.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was at Kimo's with Alto Reed from Bob Seger's band. And Alto was sitting in with Benny playing. And Benny goes, "Hey, Alto, you're not going to be here next week, but you know, do you know a sax player, somebody that could play with me? Because Glenn just broke his finger from a mango falling out of the tree." So anyhow, Alto goes, "Oh, there's my friend Smooth Jazz Guy, Rock Hendrix, over there. Why don't you ask him?" So I've been there at Kimo's now Sundays and Mondays with Benny Uitake for the last year. And it's been really fantastic. So please come to Kimo's and see us on Sundays from 6 to 8. And by the way, Benny, happy birthday today. It's Benny Uitake's birthday.
Oh, okay. So you didn't bring a saxophone to play happy birthday for him.
I wish I would have, yes.
And I don't sing and you don't sing.
Yeah.
We're not going to sing on Facebook Live. But happy birthday, Benny.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, amazing guy. Okay, so you played with a lot of amazing guys. Of course, some of them are visiting here, and some have visited, some lived here. Of course, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen lived here for a while.
When Walter Becker and Donald Fagen were living here years ago, I was here with Fulton and Lenny Castellanos, the bass player with Mick Fleetwood's band, and we got asked to play for John McEnroe's wedding, and John had got married over there at Sugar Beach to Patty Smythe. Do you remember Patty?
Yes, I do.
I think they're still married, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But anyhow, the paparazzi was all over it, and we had to keep it all a big hush-hush secret. But anyhow, so we ended up having it. The band was Walter Becker and Donald Fagen.
What a nice band to play for your wedding, my gosh.
Exactly. And
those guys don't do that.
Yeah.
Those guys do
that's
not.
That's right. They don't do many live gigs.
No, especially not weddings.
So we had Joe Cano on guitar, you know, Joe, the great Joe Cano. And I think Paul Marchetti was on drums, and Lenny Castellanos on bass. But anyhow, we did this gig, but the one song they wanted to hear, John McEnroe, was Danny Boy, because, you know, they're Irish, you know, and they love, you know, how Irish people, that's their their song. So I learned Danny Boy, and I remember we played Danny Boy maybe for, it must have gone on for 10 minutes, and I look at Donald Fagen, and I go, are we going to stop now? And he goes, no, keep going. I think we must have played it, the longest 20-minute version of Danny Boy I ever played in my life.
Don't you wish you'd recorded that?
That would have been really great. And Donald Fagen, what a great piano player he is.
He's played here. He played here a few years back, and he played with Michael McDonald and Boz Gaggs. I don't know if you got a chance to see that show, but can you imagine?
Wow.
Boz Gaggs and Donald Fagen and Michael McDonald. Yeah. Again, Michael McDonald. Did you have a chance to play with him?
No, I've never played, but a dear friend of mine, Mark Russo, has been the sax player with the Doobie Brothers for the last maybe 10 or 15 years. And he comes from the Bay Area. Former Tower Power sax player, Mark Russo, great player.
So that's one of the trips that you had. But, you know, Bonnie Raitt is coming in March, and you got a chance to. And I call her Bonnie Great because she is Bonnie Great. Yeah. It's just so amazing. And and again, when you play with someone like Bonnie Great versus playing with someone like Marvin Gaye, playing with someone versus the Family Stone, you got to really be attuned to the vibe, because of course Bonnie's got a little bit of that blues feel and more laid back, you know. And so are you going to get a chance to see her? Are you going to be in town when she comes?
I'd love to go. But you know, when I'm the typical musician that I don't go out to a lot of shows because I'm always working every night or playing or in the studio. But let's see, the last time I saw Bonnie Raitt, we were playing at the W.C. Handy Awards in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
At that famous hotel, the Peabody Hotel, where they take the ducks in the lobby and they
go
up the elevator. You know that one?
Yes, I know the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, where they let the ducks wander through every day.
Yeah, and I was there. That was a fantastic, I'd never forget that. That's the last time, that's been many years ago. But Bonnie Raitt also, I thought that she might have been part owner in a club in Mill Valley, California, in Marin County, called the Sweetwater.
Sweetwater. Is that still open or is that closed?
It's still there. And I think Bob Weir now from the Grateful Dead or something.
He just played her. You know, I lived in Northern California. It had a station in Sonoma County called KBRE where we played your music and everything. Of course, we were blessed to be able to have people like Van Morrison come and play in a 200-seat club all the time. And
that's right. And he lived there.
Yeah. He was, and what a treat. That he had a good sax player too. Overdosed on heroin, I think. I forget his name now. But he always incorporates a good horn sound with his music as well, and gets it in a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Van Morrison's music is outright amazingly spiritual.
I've always heard that he was a very shy person, and a lot of people don't realize that sometimes it's scary if you have to go out in front of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those I've heard that gets terrible bouts of stage fright. So he's a shy person.
Well, he was just, he was very, very kind when I had a chance to introduce him a couple of times. And of course, everyone says, don't call him Van the Man. He hates Van the Man. Don't introduce him as Van the Man. Everyone does that and it gets him so upset. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to introduce him as Van the Man. But Leon Russell, of course, another great that you had a chance to play with.
That's right.
And talk about soulful, of course, Leon.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Leon one night, all night in his bus. And after the show, and that was a great night. And he asked me to come back and start recording with him in Nashville, and I never took the opportunity. But I wish I had.
Yeah, one of the great songs he did he did so much. But one of the ones I really liked before I moved here years ago was Back to the Island.
Yeah,
remember that song?
Yes, I do.
Going back to the island, and today I was in the arms of the angel and the hands of the angel.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful song.
What a great, incredible songwriter. And speaking of great songwriters, there's a guy that I played with that probably wrote songs for a million people, and that was Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack.
What had happened is when Marvin Gaye died, and I was at Motown, I was getting ready to go on tour with Marvin Gaye, but he suddenly passed away, and it was a shock to everybody.
Yeah.
And that was right around the time of the 25th Motown anniversary show that Michael had come out on his own, and I was there with all of them. And anyhow, so in the 90s, I got a call to play with Bobby Womack, and basically it was the same band that Marvin had had. So here I am playing with Bobby, with Marvin Gaye's band 10 years later. And but it was Bobby Womack's band then. And Bobby had written so many great songs like Leon Russell. And he wrote this Rolling Stones first hit song, It's All Over Now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
And he wrote another song that's called Breezin' by George Benson made famous.
Yeah.
Former Maui guy.
Yes, he had a studio here, George. Yeah. Did you ever get to play in that studio in Lahaina?
No,
I never
met George Benson.
Yeah.
And I wish I had. I know that a lot of my friends here had known him quite well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Sammy Hagar loves Maui, of course.
Yeah, and he's a Marin County guy. And I grew up in Mill Valley. And I also grew up in San Francisco because my dad was a military officer, and he was based on the Presidio.
That's quite a place. So, now it's got to be. Well, I haven't seen it since it's been all converted and everything
now.
Right. And, yeah.
Well, I grew up there in the 60s, and I would go to Haight-Ashbury and all the free concerts in Golden Gate Park growing up as a kid. So it was wonderful, and I loved that time. You know, it was the summer of love.
Yeah.
And
great,
all of that
great
incredible
music.
Stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely great music.
Yeah.
And you know, you got a chance to see some of that. And I was really blessed to be able to go down to the old Waldorf and the great clubs and see some of that amazing music. Including, you know, Boz Skaggs had a club. I don't know if it's still, is it still there?
Slim's, I believe, is still
Slim's,
there.
Slim's, yeah.
And you know, I grew up, when my dad retired from the Presidio in San Francisco, we moved to the East Bay. And suddenly, I find myself in this high school in Danville, California.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was playing our high school dances? Tower of Power.
We would get
Tower of Power to play at
our
high school.
Were you playing saxophone at that time?
Yes, I was in the high school band. And we would get Tower of Power to play for $500 and a case of Red Gallo wine. And I used to ride down with the band teacher to the liquor store to get the case of red wine for the band.
How cool is that?
Anyhow,
you never got to play with them then?
I've played with all of those guys over the years. Now we're quite good friends. And I ended up playing in another band, Lady Pence and Cold Blood, which was pretty much, it was a precursor to Tower Power.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going strong.
Aren't they?
Yeah, and that's a great Bay Area band too, Cold Blood. And I became a member of Cold Blood later on.
Really?
In the late 80s.
Now, so that was a rock and roll band.
They were kind of like Tower Power, but with Lady of Pence is kind of like her and Janis Joplin started out as a duo together in San Francisco.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Lydia had to do another gig, and I can't remember the name of that song that she does, Janis does, Hold On, or what's that? What's that name of that song? Anyhow.
Hold On, that one.
That one, she...
Give it to me. Take another little piece of my
take
heart.
Take another little piece of my heart. That's what it was. Well, anyhow, Lydia would sing that song every night when they had their little duo, and Janis asked Lydia. Lydia told me this story. She says, "Hey, can I do your song tonight? Because these record guys might be coming in the club to hear it." And Lydia goes, "Well, I'm going to be gone. Go ahead and do it." So she did it, and the record guys came in, and the rest was history.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did she get the credit for that? Hopefully.
Yeah. And that became kind of her song.
It did. Yeah.
You know.
Take another little piece of my heart was a huge hit for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she became bigger than Lydia.
That's right. And Lydia always kind of felt a little short-changed from it, but they were dear friends, so, you know.
Well, then there was respect with Otis,
and
then, of course, that got taken by Aretha, so, And did you get to go to the Monterey Pop Festival at that time? Were you in that realm of that time?
Yes, I went to the Monterey Pop Festival all the time. And you just mentioned Aretha. I remember I was with Bobby Womack, and we had met Aretha many times. We would play the Fox Theater in Detroit, which is probably one of the most beautiful big theaters in the whole country. And one of the nicest Fox theaters in the whole country. And in Detroit, of course, Motown.
Well,
and,
the owner of the station here started WABX in Detroit and did a lot of shows at the Fox Theater.
Wow.
And had a TV show called The Tube Works and had people like all the greats, including Joe Cocker and all the others that came through,
everybody,
were shown.
Yeah,
Detroit was happening.
Yeah. And there's a backstage area there at the Fox Theater that's like a stairwell, and it goes up maybe six floors, and they're all dressing rooms for all the artists. And in this cement stairwell is signatures of everybody that has ever been in the music business to sign their name on a wall. So luckily I got to sign my name.
How
on
nice
wall
is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Aretha was when I played with Bobby Womack, the Rolling Stones would come to our shows because they idolized Bobby. And Bobby passed away a couple years ago. Another Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guy but an incredible guy. And so I miss Bobby dearly. And it was a real, just like playing with Michael Jackson and Marvin Gaye.
But he didn't get the money that Michael Jackson got. He never got the recognition.
But Bobby was smart. He wrote a lot of all those songs. He kept his royalties. He's one of the few old-time artists that kept their rights.
Really?
Yeah. Because, most guys, gave them all up for nothing and ended up with. But Bobby was very well off and what a talented guy. They call him the poet.
Really?
Yeah, because of his lyrics and stuff. And
wow.
Really great.
Well, it's wonderful that you can honor him. Yeah. So when you do a gig where it's kind of like, it's amazing this Friday because it's free. And you're going to be playing for free in Lahaina at the Lahaina Cannery Mall. Acoustic, but you get used to that. I mean, it's a big open mall space. But when you have that freedom, but at the same time you're playing with Mitch Kappa, how do you decide what you're going to play? I mean, is it kind of just whatever comes to your mind, or do you do a set list, or how do you decide what you're going to be doing?
From what I've noticed here, with all the greats like Mitch Kappa and Willie Kay and Benny Uitake and all these great Hawaiian entertainers, they kind of go spree of the moment, kind of go with the flow, which is nice. So, I never know really what.
Well, Willie's an example of that, right? His band, God bless them. They just, in a minute, he can change his mind and do anything. They have to be ready in a second to switch it up, right?
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, speaking of these Hawaiian musicians and stuff, artists here, there is so much talent always in Hawaii. And for everybody listening, I'm not new to Hawaii. Remember, I moved back to Hawaii back and forth since the 70s.
Was your father, your father was stationed here?
I actually got called to take Jerry Martini's place from Sly and the Family Stone.
Really?
To do a show here.
When was that?
That was back in 1976.
Oh my gosh.
And I just was—
In Oahu?
In Oahu. And then I ended up playing with
that must have been one. That must have been one of the shows that was put on by.
I think we played in the Diamond Head Crater.
My gosh! Yeah.
And anyhow, we Jerry.
Was that a Tom Moffat show? Do you remember
Tom Moffat? That's right. God bless his soul. Yeah. And anyhow, I had fell in love with Hawaii, and a great band there called Aura, they played at the Point After, and it was they were one of the best bands in all of Hawaii.
Really?
A Filipino family from Waipahu, and all born and raised in Hawaii. And they could blow Tower Power away.
Really?
Or Kool and the Gang or anybody. I mean, they're the original Bruno Mars group.
Oh, Hawaii. Really?
Like, and so they said, we'll show you around. Well, they hooked me up with Music Magic, and I ended up playing with Music Magic, which led then to the Marrakesh, where I played with Azure and Tennyson for many years. And then I moved to Trappers, where Jimmy Borges was, and I played there with Jimmy, and then later on with Nohelani Cipriano there.
Oh, wow.
And I played on all those albums, those Kalapana and Cecilio and the Casimeros. I'm on all those albums from the 80s because I was always in and out of town playing there in Waikiki on the Strip. And that was the golden years
was.
Waikiki,
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jimmy Borges was a mentor to me, and I miss him dearly.
Yeah, he was one of the greats.
Yes,
and you know what? There he was doing it his way when the typical thing was not that kind of music. That wasn't what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't what you would typically think you'd see in a club when you went to Oahu, But he was doing it, and he was doing it well.
Did you ever go to Trappers? Did you ever see
Trappers? No, but I mean, I got to see him over here because he did some jazz things over here.
Yeah.
So I got to meet him over here. And I know Henry Allen, who worked with him very closely. Henry and his wife really worked very closely with Jimmy. So
he was an amazing person on top of being a great singer and entertainer, and really the ambassador of jazz for Honolulu. And another lady I'd like to say hi to out there, who is the ambassador of jazz of Maui, is Maui Sarah from Blackies.
Oh, really?
Yes. So she's a dear friend. And hi, Sarah, if you're out there.
Wow. Well, you know what? I mean, I really didn't. We got a thumbs up on that, so maybe she's watching her or someone knows her.
Yeah.
So, we have an amazing scene, and I'm so glad you're giving us a little bit of recognition for that because, you know, people don't realize how great the Maui music scene is, and I think the Maui music scene is awesome, but Hawaii music scene and all, we have amazing musicians, and there's a price to pay for living here, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be, if you were in L.A., you know, you'd be making a lot more money playing gigs, right? I mean, so did you do this for the lifestyle or for the love of your wife or what made you stay?
Yes, of course, you know Shelley, my wife.
Yes.
We moved away 10 years ago and she cried every day for a year, missing Maui so much. So I told her, I promise we'll go back someday.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm losing my sight now, I want to be able to enjoy the sights of the place I love the
most.
The
beauty,
yeah.
Yeah, there is such, and you know what? It's an interesting thing, but there's all kinds of different light here. And, you know, when you're losing your sight, I'm sure the light makes a difference in the shadings of light at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I see the sunrise and the sunset, the colors we get are so heavenly. I mean, really rainbows of light that come through. That make it very, very special, you know?
It's just, I remember because I didn't grow up in Hawaii. I didn't come here till I was in my 20s. And just see the blue water and the white sand and the palm trees and things like that. Because I grew up mostly in California. And the weather's nice there. But this is the most beautiful place on earth. And I'm so blessed to be here.
We're going to play one of your songs. I'm going to end the Facebook Live. But people can listen. Marty Dredd's going to call in just a couple minutes. You know Marty Dredd?
I've met him. Lenny Castellanos used to play with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marty's played with everyone. He's going to be calling in a minute, but I want to play one of your songs. So I'm finishing up Facebook, but you can listen on Kaoi1110.com or 1110 AM. And I'm going to play the Hardcastle release. I can't even remember. You gave me so many here. And my headsets are wrapped around my chair here. So I'm going to try to do this with...
Thank you, everybody.
Well, no, stay there because I'm just going to play this song once I get this untangled here. And I'm going to play the first track here. And once I play it, you can talk a little bit over here.
Sure.
So tell me what it's about.
Actually, this song is a very long song. The sax doesn't come until later, but it's a beautiful piece. It's called The Truth Will Set You Free, and that's from the Bible.
Wow.
The Truth Will Set You Free.
Wow.
And so Paul says, I'm going to do an 11-minute song. So anyhow. You can enjoy it. It's very relaxing and a beautiful piece.
And then we'll have Marty call in just a couple minutes. I wonder if I should fast. I wish I had fast-forwarded it so they could hear you.
That's okay. It's such a great song that let everybody enjoy it.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you. I like that. I'm just starting to hear you, starting to hear you on that one playing.
Yeah.
It's a long cut, and we want to get maybe one more. I was waiting for Marty Dredd to call in, but Marty didn't call, so I can play one more song that you did. I'm talking with Rock. If you're just tuning in, Rock Hendricks is going to be at. We're blessed to be able to have him play for free this coming Friday from 5:30 to 7.
Yeah, there's no cover charge at the mall, and come on and see Mitch Keppa, who's one of Hawaii's great soulful singers. That just incredible guy, and I'll just be backing him up on the sax. So come on down on Friday, this 20th, and see us there at the Cannery Mall, which my friend told me that used to be a real cannery.
Yeah. Now, you're going to do track number 4 in this one?
Yeah, that's called Echoes Rising.
And this was with Paul Hardcastle?
It just came off number 1 on the new Paul Hardcastle History album. And it's actually a 9-minute single, but it features me on the sax. And this was recorded in Hawaii, sax tracks. Yeah, in Makawao.
In Makawao.
So we went number 1 in Makawao.
That's amazing. And you have a studio in your home as well now.
Yes, yeah.
There you are. On alto sax?
On tenor sax.
On tenor sax.
This is called Echoes.
Wow, I love listening to this kind of music. Rock Hendricks on saxophone on Paul Hardcastle in London did the work and the instrumentation, and Paul worked on the sax here in Makawao. What studio was that at?
That's at my home studio up in Makawao that I have a nice setup up there that's used to do the sax tracks. So I'm with Trippin' and Rhythm Records from London. That's Paul Hardcastle's on that label. And that's one of the world's biggest jazz labels. The Concord, and there's Trippin' and Rhythm, and there's a few others. But I'm lucky to be a signed artist to Trippin' and Rhythm, which is part of Sony and Universal Music.
Well, that's nice. Because, you know, it's become such a very small little circle of music labels out there that actually are able to get the play and do what they have to do, and the distribution is already set. But for I was talking about independence, and for independence, it's really tough, you know, because you're trying to do it all yourself, and you're going through these kind of limited venues, you know.
So I feel very fortunate to have been to be signed by the record company because, like you said, they have all the distribution and there's the PR guys, and my PR guy is Jeff Lunt, and he's one of the country's best jazz promoters. And so, Trippin' and Rhythm has some great, great artists on there. And I'm also working on Skinny Hightower's new album. He just got signed to Trippin' and Rhythm, and be listening for him, Skinny Hightower. He's a great piano player from Atlanta. I'm working on his album right now.
Well, it's interesting because we were talking about when the music was playing about smooth jazz and the wave, I remember in L.A., and it was being syndicated around, and I love that kind of format. That was, like, for me, the kind of music I love playing, although, you know, I love a lot of kinds of music. Grew up in rock and roll. But the smooth jazz, for me, when I'm doing my thing, that's what I like. And it's interesting because now you know, I guess more of your sales are going to MP3s. Do you tour with any of when Paul Hardcastle does a new release? You've done seven with him? How many?
I've lost track of all the albums, probably about 10 albums. But in the last 10 years, we've averaged at least one Billboard number one hit per year for the last 10 years. So that's pretty amazing.
I thought I saw a light flash. I thought maybe that was Marty Dredd calling
Marty
in.
Marty Dredd, he's fantastic.
Is that you, Marty?
Indeed. Am I too late for you?
No, we've got 8 minutes still.
Okay, great. Sorry.
Well, Marty, do you know Rock Hendricks?
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
How you doing, man? It's been a long time.
The great saxophonist, yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. I remember when you used to play up there at Casanova's with Lenny, and you guys would pack that place.
Oh, yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, yeah.
Maui's music scene has never quite recovered from those days.
Oh, man, well, you're a pretty awesome guy. Great to talk to you.
Likewise. What have you been up to these days?
I'm back here on Maui just kicking back.
Well, this is the best place to do it, my friend.
Yeah, he's actually also playing up at the Lahaina Cannery Mall. You should see about playing up there. They're doing free music, Aloha Fridays, they're calling it up 5:30 to 7 at the Lahaina Cannery Mall.
That sounds fantastic, but as you know, I do my Pacific Whale Foundation.
Oh, you do?
During those very hours.
Oh, yeah, but I'm so glad that survived. I mean, I remember when that started, and you know, you're the dude for getting out and knowing how to party. So you brought the people out, the whales and the people out. And that's been now, what, 5 years you've been doing that? That Big Gun Friday?
This is my sixth season on the water, actually. Wow. You know, the key to the success of this, I think, has been song selection. You have to look at the audience that comes on the boat. It's probably between the ages of 30 and 55, typically Middle American, Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So they want to hear Steve Miller. They want to hear Van Morrison. They want to hear, you know, there's a certain type of song. If you play that music, you get them every time.
Well,
and that's what I've had to learn to do. I could have stuffed all my original songs down their throat, but I feel like if I just play a certain type of tune, no matter what, the party's on fire.
And
I've just learned to do that well.
You know, and it fits out on the water at sunset, right?
It does. It's feel-good music. You know, it's kind of like a Jimmy Buffett pirate cruise, so to speak. But it's a lot of dancing, a lot of merrymaking, a lot of drinking too.
Yeah.
And whale watching. So it's a match made in heaven for me.
Well, have you found out what the whales like to play?
They like Bob Marley.
They like Bob Marley.
Something about the syncopation, I think, between the drums and the bass. Because reggae music, I'm not sure if you or even your listeners know that reggae music is more, it's based off of the heartbeat.
I didn't know
There's
that.
There's a fundamental undertone to all reggae. It's called Nyabingi. And the rhythm pattern is doom-doom, 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 exactly like the beating human heart. That's the undertone. If you really listen for it in any reggae song, you'll hear that fundamental beat. And I think that played at a certain low frequency, which is, as you know, reggae is very bass heavy, that just calls the whales. It's like, hey, this is our sister song or our brother song. Let's go check out what that is.
You know, I think that's so cool. So you're going to have to do that. Bob Marley's birthday is coming up February 6th, right?
That's right.
You'll have to have a special reggae cruise for the whales.
Yeah, I'll do a Bob Marley tribute that night for sure.
That would be great. Well, you're going to be out on February 4th, which is a Saturday, at the Pacific Whale Foundation's Run for the Whales. And this is going to be, I mean, I was talking with Marina about this. This has become a huge, huge event. I guess last year they had like 800 people out there, and I'm sure, you know, part of it was the draw you have playing there in the morning.
Actually, I think what the draw of that event is that's for every level. Mm-hmm. You have walking, you have running, and then you have the people that really take it seriously and take it like a real marathon.
Oh, yeah.
So you have every particular kind of athlete involved, but everybody's on the same page when it comes to how they're rewarded for their effort. And it's just a real fun family day, and it ties in so great with the fact that the Pacific Humpback Fleet comes here. It's just a really, whoever masterminded this thing, the people down there at PWF, just really hit a home run because the people that want to be in the know of how to take care of the oceans and how to further the cause of educating people about the humpback whales and all the marine mammals that live here in Hawaii. they can do that while doing an actual athletic event. And I think whoever sort of masterminded that however many years back hit on a really good thing, because there are a lot of eco-minded people that gravitate to Maui, and there are a lot of athletic-minded people that gravitate mm-hmm. to Maui. So it just sort of somewhere found a middle ground.
You're right. And on top of that, you know, the Pacific Whale Foundation always does quality stuff. Their T-shirts their T-shirts are really popular. And so, you know, you get the party going. And you know, you're right, this year, not only a half marathon, this year they've added a 1K, which is for Keiki. This is the first ever year they've had a 1K for Keiki 12 and under. So, and they also have, if you're going to be doing a half marathon or series, they have childcare available, and they get them down to their educational center there and have a blast. So people also not only get a great T-shirt, they also get a chance to have some discounts on Whale Watch. And there's nothing more magical than a Whale Watch. And you know, and I know
great
it.
Great prizes, by the way, for the actual winners of the particular heats or whatever.
Yeah,
and Greg Kaufman is there, and he signs his book for people, and I'm there at the finish line playing Feel Good Island music. So as they come in, it's like a homecoming, you know. It's like, oh, they got good music, and they're there with the water station, and then there's an award ceremony. I play, and everyone dances. I mean, it's almost like a combination of a concert and an amusement park meets an athletic event. If that makes any sense.
Well, it does totally make sense, and it fits for Maui, doesn't it? Doesn't that
sure
kind of describe Maui in a way?
Sure does. I'm honored to be part of it. I think this is my fifth or sixth one.
Yeah.
The very first time I did it, some of the organizers said, "Marty, what you added to this event is irreplaceable. We'd love it if you'd come every time you can."
Well,
because I've literally been back every time I could.
Well, you know, and Mr. Barefoot himself, Barefootin'. Do you ever play that Barefootin'? Because Marty's always barefoot, and he's barefoot on the boats, and he's barefoot when he plays, and he's barefoot all around the country. So,
I'm barefoot everywhere.
You're barefoot
everywhere. Yeah, I have a couple of songs I've written. One's called No More Slipper.
No More Slipper fits for
back
you.
Back in 94, my very first album. And then about 2009... I recorded No More Slipper Part 2, both of which are still wildly popular. People request them literally every time I play.
How cool. And coming up on the 4th, that Saturday morning, of course, starts early, Jack Gist is going to be out there like at 6:30 in the morning early to help get the emceeing going and everything.
Sweet.
You know. Yeah. So you know, we've been involved with the Pacific Whale Foundation for, 30 years? No, 27 at least, you know. So it's a huge event that everyone loves, and it kind of signals the season of the whales, which, you know, is one of the best highlights of the year.
Right.
We all love it. So it's wonderful that you're going to be able to be a part of it and be out there. And I'm hoping you can still come in next Tuesday and talk a little bit so we can play a little bit. Your last album was
so cool.
That last,
great to be there live.
Yeah, that CD that you did was just, you did it in Nashville, right?
No, I did that actually in San Clemente, but some of the players that I used played with, like, Dwight Yoakam and Glenn Campbell and some of the real national country acts, some of the, like, the steel guitar player and the percussionist and drummer. He's played with Tracy Chapman and Taj Mahal and Rod Stewart. I mean, there's just the accolades of the guys that played on that record. You'd go, my goodness, this is a very impressive list of musicians that, and I handpicked each person to make that record sound the way I wanted to, and I've done 17 records now, not including the one that I did with you.
Well, we're out of time, but we'll see you next Tuesday. Okay.
Thanks
for calling
in.
Aloha.
Thanks for having me on the show. Bye bye.
Thank you.